Good morning. I want to invite you this morning to go ahead and get your Bibles open, open them up to the book of Psalms, the 100th Psalm. 100th Psalm is where we're going to be. We've started our journey throughout the book of Psalms, and we've been looking at Psalms as a whole book, but also we've been looking at, if you've noticed, if you remember from the first week, the book of Psalms is broken up into kind of five little sub-books. Psalms. And so we've been walking through and looking at a different psalm from each of those books throughout the month of September. We have this week and next week to go. So if you've been looking at that, if you've been seeing that, you can see some central themes that carry on in each of the five books. And some of the things that we look at and we see is we explore God's story portrayed throughout Psalms as a microcosm to all of Scripture and to our own lives. And we see that God is continuing to work, and He's continuing to do amazing things throughout the book of Psalms, throughout the course of history, and in each and every one of us, each and every day. And throughout Scripture, we see that God does some amazing things, and they can be highlighted. They can be highlighted through these patterns of five kind of books here. You don't have to be a big Bible numbers type of person. You don't have to be looking for like the codes and when the world is going to end, when the book ends up matching up with the Mayan calendar and the rotations of the sun and some of that stuff. You don't have to be looking at that to be able to key in on the fact that God does some amazing things through fives. Just a couple of the examples throughout the first five books of the Bible. It's sometimes called the Torah, or the $10 word for it is the Pentateuch. And penta simply means five. There you go. So we get the first five books of the Bible, and it's God kind of kicking off His story throughout history. And in that you have the call of Abraham, this promise that He says, I am going to bless you and I am going to make you a blessing to all nations. We see that that's an initial call to what Jesus is later going to do. He gives this law. He delivers His people. He brings them from a faraway land into His land that He's promised Him, by way of freeing them from captivity, by way of making them His people, by bringing them to the place where they are ready to enter into His promised land. And we get this moment where it's like the doors are opening and they're getting to walk in at the end of those first five books of the Bible. In Matthew recognized this when he was writing his gospel, the account of what Jesus had done on this earth. Matthew splits it into five sections. And he splits it into these five sections, tells these five stories, five movements in his story about how God is moving in that specific time in history, how Jesus is just like the new beginning of the story. And he's bringing us along in this, that Jesus is this new character that brings out the completion of everything before. And so we have, at the beginning, we have where Jesus is, and then we have kind of in the middle here, this book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms brought together and compiled through a bunch of individual Psalms, and making up these five books, and they've arranged them in this order. And if you are done with numbers like I am to this point, if you didn't like math growing up, then the only number that we need to look at from this point on is the number 100, and Psalm 100 in your book. We're going to go ahead and read it here. And Psalm chapter 100, or the 100th Psalm, says, it is a psalm for giving grateful praise. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So we look at this in the 100th Psalm and have four words for you. Four words for you as we look through this. First word is shout. Can you say that like that? First word is shout! Sorry, bud. I didn't mean to scare you. Shout! Hopefully we didn't blow anybody's hearing aids there. Shout! If I took a bottle of pop, a brand new bottle of pop, and I just started shaking, and I opened up that lid, what would we expect? Now, if I took someone who knew that they were dying, if they knew they only had, let's say, 2 weeks to live, and somehow I could give them a pill that would instantly cure their disease, and they would be fine. They wouldn't have to go for any more treatment, they wouldn't have to experience any more pain, and I gave them that pill and it took away everything. They experienced everything that I promised. They walk out the door, and what do you think would happen? Now, what about just a hypothetical situation? What if you were watching a football game and you're rooting for some team like, let's just say some weird name, the Hawkeyes. And they're losing like all game and they're just doing terrible. Could you expect that? And all of a sudden though, they start to make a comeback. And they get the ball back, but they have to punt. And they're ahead, and they're having to punt, and there's 2 minutes left on the clock. And what's going to happen is they're going to punt. And as the ball is sailing through the air, and the receiver on the other team is going to catch it, one of his players runs into him, and they fumble the ball, and your team gets it. What would you expect would happen? I like you guys. You'd expect for maybe there to be a little bit of shouting. When there's a miraculous play, you expect yelling and cheering. Where there's a miraculous medical development that cures a terminal disease, usually someone gets told. When a bottle is shaken, usually the bottle explodes. There's a curious case, though. When someone's life is brought out of the mundane and into the fullest extent of life that Jesus offers, there are times and there are days when you can hardly hear a fizz. When the terminal sickness of sin is cured by the blood spilt on the cross, the confession can stay concentrated inside the walls of a church building. When the greatest victory is gained on a Sunday morning by an empty garden tomb, come back can be missed at the conversations at the gas station. Jesus said, therefore go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. That will involve conversation. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses Witnesses testifying on the stand speak what they know. When Jesus heals a man of demons living inside him in Luke chapter 8, verse 39, Jesus tells him, return home and tell. Spread the news about how much God has done for you. And it tells us, so the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Here in the 100th Psalm, the first word right out of the bat is shout. And sometimes as a church, all we can muster is a little more than a whisper. We serve a mighty God who has done great things. He's continuing to work in amazing ways. And we're commanded to share the good news of what God has done out of an overflowing of His goodness in our lives. When I take the time to look, I wonder why I even need to be commanded. When I see what God has done, there shouldn't need to be a command that says to go and tell. You don't need to tell a bottle of pop to explode. You don't need to tell the terminally ill patient who is now cured and is alive to tell about how they were healed. You don't need to tell a football fan to spread the news about his team winning. And why do we need to be commanded to go and share our faith? I think we need to be reminded because at times we don't take the initiative to do enough in the way of worship. It's the second word in this psalm that I want us to focus on. And if you're in the adult Sunday school class, you're studying this right now. And we want to participate in it. We want to participate in worship. And notice where that ends. We don't want it to end with we participate in worship on Sunday mornings as someone standing up with a guitar. That's not where it ended. It didn't end on we want to worship God when we're in church looking up at a screen and singing songs. That's not where it ended. We want to be participating in worship. The reason we don't put the rest on there is because that's not the extent of worship. We want to do those things. We can worship God while we're singing. We can worship God when someone's in the front with a guitar. We can worship God while we're looking at a screen with words. But that's just a portion of worship. Worship is what we do every single day. We participate in worship. Whatever we're doing in life, we participate in worship. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. It says, this is your true and proper worship. Because you see, our lives, each and every day, are meant to be a form of worship. Not just that they're meant to be a form of worship, but our lives each and every day are a form of worshiping. Your life is a form of worship. My life is a form of worship. The things that we strive for, the things that we chase after, the things that we exemplify and exalt in our lives, that is worship. So then the question becomes, What are we worshiping? Do we worship, as already mentioned, our sports teams? Or maybe it's our jobs. Maybe our finances, our success, maybe ourselves. This is the thing that we worship most. This is the thing that we strive after most. This is the thing that we work for the most. This is the thing that we chase after, the things that we exemplify, the things that we exalt. Maybe that's us. Maybe we're the ones that we worship. Maybe it's the approval of others. Maybe it's keeping up with our neighbors. Maybe it's something even good in your life. Maybe it's taking care of the ones around you. Maybe it's community service. Maybe it's school pride. Maybe it's getting the grades. That those are the things that are on the front focus, on the front burner of your lives. And maybe that's all that you see through. That's all that you chase after, and that has become the worship. We have been created to lift up the things that we value. We've been created to praise and exalt. We have a natural ability to go into a situation. We go to a good burger joint. And what's the thing we say? You should go here. It's the best burger ever. We go to Giordano's or Bojo's Pizza and we say, this is the best ever. You should go and get some. We go and we see the Hawkeyes play, the Cyclones play, the Huskers play. Okay. We say, it's the best ever. But then we go to God, and it's on the off chance that someone might ask us. And the off chance that it might get brought up in conversation. And we stand on the sideline. We want to lift up the things we adore. So let us adore more and more our Savior who has set us free. Let's lift Him up. Let's adore Him. Let's tell about Him. And there's one thing that I think will make that happen more and more. It's when we truly focus on getting to know God. When we think of knowing God, sometimes that brings to mind that we think of the intellectual, the factual, the historical, the informational knowledge of a being. And I want you to recognize that this isn't what this word know focuses on. To know in Scripture is to intimately relate to be emotionally connected to. It's a form of a relational bond to know. And we're encouraged to know God. Knowing God is more than just knowing the facts on paper. It's more than being able to answer questions on a quiz. It's more than being able to raise your hand in Sunday school and church. Knowing God involves taking in His presence. That Jesus opened up a space for to be in our lives. It's about accepting Him in. That Psalm today talks about meditating on the word of the Lord, delighting in his law day and night. It means focusing on his word, on who he is, that he is here with us, that what Jesus brought was Emmanuel, that God could come here with us. To know that he's been faithful from age to age, from generation to generation, from year to year, from day to day, to us, God has been faithful. Do you know God? Coming to know God involves knowing something about ourselves. It says in Psalm chapter 100, verse 3, it says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." And this is something that I want us to pick up on this morning. Because in this world, we have a lot of self-doubt. We have a lot of self-deprecation. We have a lot of insecurity in life around us. And I want to ask, how is that affected when we take the start of each day to know that God made us? That God crafted us. That God calls us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, his masterpiece. How would it change the way that you look in the mirror? How would it change the way that you look at life? How would it change the way that you see your everyday if you woke up and reminded yourself that there is a God who made you, crafted you, and called you his masterpiece? Not only that, but when God created, when God crafted, when God shaped and molded us, God looked at us. He made us. And it tells us we are his. God looked at us after his creation. He looked and he said, "I want them." Said, "I want to be in relationship. I want them to be mine. I want to keep this one." That's what God looks at you and says. Do you know him? He's a God who is willing to give everything for you so that you could enter. It's the fourth and final word that we're going to look at today. Because you see that God wasn't just satisfied in simply making you. This is the amazing thing, that God wanted to be with you. So he gave his son, his one and only son. Because if your life was anything like mine, it needed to be cleansed. Because we need to be remade. Because we've chosen to run away. And one thing to know about God, that God is loving. He is merciful. He is gracious. He is forgiving. And he is good. But also, God is just. In God's justice, he requires payment for debts. He requires punishment for wrong. But in his loving justice, God makes the payment for us. He gives his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross, to bear, to put on our sins, our wrongdoings, our debt. But on the other side, there's life. The slain lamb didn't stay dead. Jesus rose from the grave, and we have been washed and justified through Jesus' death and resurrection so that we have hope of a new life. Here's the detail that we read in the midst of all this going on, and it's when Jesus is on the hill, when he breathes his last, when he had given himself up, there's a curtain in the temple, a curtain that before this divided God's presence from God's people. And that curtain was torn in two. That meant that God could enter into the lives of each and every one of us, and that we could enter into his presence, that we could be with him forever. And Jesus opened up this way so that we can have relationship with a holy and perfect God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ the Son. And now, not only can we enter into his courts with praise, but he can enter into our hearts. And there's something to shout about. I'll end the way that Psalm 100 ends. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Will you pray with me? Lord, as we come to you today, as we recognize who you are and what you've done and the way that you work so amazingly, God, we come to you today through your grace, through your love, through Jesus' sacrifice, and we enter in and we allow ourselves to just praise you. Like those around you sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." God, you have been faithful through all generations. God, when we turn away, when we run away, when our sin is deep, your love is deeper still. God, we come to you in praise. We come to you in humility. And God, we thank you for your Son. Through him, the only reason we can come to you, God, is through your love and kindness. We praise you. Lord, help us to shout your name. Help us to worship you with each and every day. Help us to know you more and more. And God, we look forward to the day when we enter into your loving arms. Because of your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen.